I forget to tell people things that are going on because I get so caught up in what I'm doing and I get busy. But I preached at First Baptist on Wednesday. Was it Wednesday? I preached to all the kindergarten or first grade through 12th grade people there. And I had fun last year doing it also. But this year, I think I preached the greatest 20 minutes of my whole life at that church. And I think there was a reason why. That I preached the greatest 20 minutes of my whole life in that church. And it was just a simple message about the radical love of God for people. You know, and when I was done, all I wanted to do was go sit outside on the step and just sob with God and just bask in how much He loves me. You see, and what was happening as I was experiencing God. I was experiencing His love for me. You see, and we've kind of lost sight that we can experience God's love. But I thought that those 20 minutes were so awesome for me that I want to hear it again. So I'm going to incorporate some of that into what I preach today. And it's just a simple message about the love of God for people. You know, and it'll bless your heart to hear that. And we'll dismiss the children to Children's Church before I get going. What? Oh. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 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 He's alive. Praise God, my Bible's falling apart. I've lost my marker in my Bible. I'm losing pages left and right. And can you just hold those pages for me so they don't start blowing around with the air conditioner? I like it, though. You know, I could go get a new one. It's just I like that one. You know, I like it because I know that Bible. You see, I've experienced that Bible. I've experienced life reading that Bible. So I don't want to get rid of it. I don't want to get a new one, right? Thank you, Father. Father, we just thank you that you have not created us for a stale existence, that you have not created us for a stagnant existence, but a static existence, but that you have created us to experience you, that you've created us so that you can experience us and so that we can experience you. We just thank you, Father, that you have designed us in the manner that we can feel your love. I just thank you, Father, that you did not deny your feelings, for you felt that you could not live without us. I thank you, Father, that you embraced your feelings for us. I thank you, Father, that you have created us in the way that we can experience your love. And I just thank you, Lord, that we can know you today, that we can know as we have always been known today, so that we can experience your love today. Thank you, Father, that your words today will bless the hearts of everybody that hears this message, and that everybody that hears this message will have a new revelation of what it means to experience your love for them, that they can walk away and they can know that a life with you is not a static life. It is a dynamic life, a life where you can experience his love for you and you can experience what it feels like to love God back. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You know, the highest quality of life can only be defined by God's quality of life. And you notice how God did not just design his life in a way that he would now love all of us. You see, he designed the highest quality of life to be that once he loved all of us, it would cause a persuasion to come to each one of us, and we would now decide to love him back. You see, so eternal life is not just defined by God loving us, but it's defined by him wanting us to love him back. And you see, people get scared when you start talking about that because they think, well, are you saying that God is insecure? No, God is not insecure. He doesn't need your love, but it is the greatest quality of life to be able to give love freely and to receive love freely back. It is the greatest quality of life. And it is the life he has designed us for. And because we've made loving God some kind of a commandment, we have stripped the power out of the eternal life. We have stripped the power out of the highest quality of life. We've made it something that we've been commanded to do. It's something that we get to do. And it's something that happens effortlessly when we realize, when we experience God's love for us. And it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And I'm not going to go through a lot of verses today. I went through a lot of verses last week, and I love talking about doctrine, and I think it's very important to establish a foundation of doctrine. Otherwise, people get confused. And one of the reasons why so many people in the grace have gone over to the universalist message is because nobody in the grace message will stand up and teach what those scriptures the universalists use actually mean. We just stand up and say, universalism is wrong, move on. You see, but in a person's heart, if they don't know why universalism is wrong, they become an easy prey for a false message. And so last week, I spent a bunch of time explaining these verses so that people's hearts could be set at peace, so that their minds can go to peace in what they're believing, and so that they could know when the message of universalism came, they could know why it isn't true. And then they could know what those verses mean that the universalists will try to present them with. And that is protecting the gospel. It is protecting God's people. And, you know, the interesting thing about the message I preached last week was that I wasn't even intending on really preaching that. And I hadn't really meditated on those verses very much at all for like the last year or so. But something that happened was God saw something getting crooked with his gospel. And so God delivered a message to me to preach it. And he's delivering it to lots of other people in the grace in the gospel, the people who are preaching the true gospel, so that they can also preach that message. But I love just talking about the love of God, and I find the more that I know God, the more that I don't need to get into all types of complicated theology. I can enjoy that, but really, I enjoyed the 20 minutes I preached at that school more than I've enjoyed any message I've ever preached. And I enjoyed the time I sat on the steps afterwards thinking, I wonder if anybody else felt what I felt while I was preaching that. Because the whole time I was experiencing God, and the whole time I could barely get the words out. And in fact, this morning when I came here, I come here early every morning to get the air in here cool, because we're not running on all the air conditioners. And as I was just meditating on what I was going to say, I could barely say it, because every time I started to think about what this meant, I just became overcome. I just became overcome, and I was experiencing the love of God. You see, and we've been taught that's bad, right? Deny your feelings, brother. Deny your feelings. Your feelings are bad. There's something wrong with your feelings. But there's a very powerful prayer that Paul prayed in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19. And I didn't put this up on the board. It just came to me this morning to intro into what we're going to talk about. But Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19, it says, "And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God." And so Paul is saying that he was praying a prayer for these Ephesians, that they could know the love of Christ. Now, this word know means not an intellectual knowledge. It means an experience. He was praying a prayer that they would experience the love that Christ has for them that could far surpass any intellectual knowledge they could have about the love of Christ. You see, and something I find in America is we become so intellectualized with our understanding of God that most people don't experience the love of God because they let their intellectual understanding of the Bible or what they've been taught, their theology, get in the way of the truth. And then they never experience the love of God. But experiencing the love of God is one of the primary reasons why God made human. For he cannot experience our love for him unless we can first experience his love for us. Hallelujah. And I could spend all day preaching on just a couple of these verses, but I'm not going to because it's another sermon for another time. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12, and I think the songs we played today were very funny, talking about our purpose and talking about being face-to-face with God, because I'm going to talk about that today. And it always works out that way. But 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12 says, For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. But then shall I know, even as I am also known. I'm, you know, I guess I'll just sing this song before I speak about anything. You know, it'll be my mantra. Upside down, I'm turning you. You know, we've always thought that that was talking about when Jesus came back. But if you read the previous 16 verses, he's talking about love. He's talking about love. And he says, but when that which is perfect comes, love, when you start experiencing the love of God, you realize you're face to face with God, and then you will know yourself as God has always known you. And then you experience God. You see, Paul was teaching this Corinthian church about the spiritual gifts, and he was teaching them that spiritual gifts are good, but they're only designed to lead you into the love of God. They're not a show of pride. They're not a show of spirituality. They're not something that you do to prove that you have some greater connection with God. You know, so many preachers feel like they got to stand up at the pulpit and pray in tongues on stage so everybody could think they're super spiritual. And we're not against those people either. But what Paul was saying is those gifts are designed to bring you somewhere. And they're designed to bring you into that which is perfect, which is God's love for you. And when you know God's love for you, when you experience God's love for you, when you enter into that place where you're experiencing his love for you, then you will know as you have always been known. Hallelujah. And you see what happened to me out on those steps after I preached to those kids was that I knew myself as I had always been known. I was experiencing the love of God. I was face to face with God and I knew it. It was no more concealed. I was no more seeing it darkly. You see it darkly up until the point that you realize the love of God for you. That's when you see it darkly. And guys, we are for words of prophecy and words of knowledge. But recognize those words are designed to lead the person who gets the word into the love of God. And we have so many people that think they have a prophetic ministry and they run around the earth preaching condemnation and judgment against people. But that does not bring anybody into the love of God. And I hate to break it to all the earth, but the Old Testament ministry of prophecy is over. It ended with John the Baptist. So anybody who delivers a word of prophecy, guys, you can put this in your heart so no one can confuse you again. If it's a word that does not exhort you unto love, that does not exhort you unto the grace of God, and if it's a judgmental word or a condemning word, it isn't from God. And people think, well, but they knew things they couldn't have known. Yeah, so do the demons. The demons can know things that no one could know. There's people who are communicating with demons, guys. There's demons, spirits that are out there. Paul dealt with divination, and he cast them out of that girl. So, guys, just because somebody comes to you and they read your mail a little bit does not mean that now they are communicating to you from God. You know, one of my, in the Bible school that I went to, there was a woman who lost her husband, and she was in one of her, I think it was donut stores that they had. And she was in this donut store, and she was real sad and grieving. Well, a man came in off of the street, out of the blue, and came up to her and told her that she had just lost her husband. And there's no way he could have known this. And do you know what he then told her? I am God. I will be your husband. Now, you see how she was confused because this woman knew something that, or this man knew something that he shouldn't have been able to know. And so she just went along with him. This guy, through the course of their marriage, was sacrificing animals, locked her daughters up in the basement, was torturing them. This guy was clearly not from God. So guys, let us not be confused about people who come with words of prophecy, okay? It is designed for us to know as we have always been known. And that is not talking about some distant time in the future when finally we stand before God and we can then know. No, it's talking about when you start experiencing the love of God for you. Then you know as you have always been known. Okay, now guys, I'm not saying I know what my glorified body is going to look like. But I'm saying that scripture is talking about experiencing the love of God. That's what it's talking about. Go read the previous 17 verses that are all talking about love. It's clearly talking about experiencing the love of God. My wireless network is shut down. Cancel. You know, I get so fired up. You know what it reminds me of? I don't know if any of you guys ever saw the Naked Gun with, is it Leslie Nielsen or whatever? Well, in one of the Naked Gun movies, he's standing behind the umpire plate, and he's playing umpire, and he gets to calling strikes, and he starts, like, going crazy all over the place. He starts breakdancing, and he's like, "Strike!" And it's one of the funniest things I'd ever seen. But, you know, I go back and watch myself on YouTube, and I start thinking, man, is it that I'm married to someone who's Italian, or is it that I'm Italian? You know? It's a good thing there's not lightning bolts. Oh, praise God. We'll get into this thing, I promise. And I wasn't planning on saying any of that, but it just happened. Psalms chapter 8, verse 4. Psalms chapter 8, verse 4. This verse is so profound. You guys have heard me talk about this verse before, but never in the manner that I'm going to speak about it today. And it'll just blow your mind. But Psalms chapter 8, verse 4 says, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him?" Okay, and we all have these questions that arise in our heads at one time or another. That are the same as this question that David had, where we want to know, who am I? Why am I here? How did I get here? Why did God create me? You see, and something I find is that the more God answers those questions for me, the more he reveals to me in response to those types of questions, the more I experience his love for me. The more I experience peace and contentment in my heart. The more God can reveal to me about who I am to him, then the more my mind and my heart can go to rest in who I am. You see? And I'm going to say that again. The more that God can reveal to me about who I am to him, then the more my heart and mind can go to rest in who I am. Hallelujah. You see, and because we've all had these questions arise in our mind about who we are to God, we have all these erroneous teachings. We have all these erroneous teachings that are trying to come up with reasons about why we are here. How did we get here? Why did God create us? What is our purpose? You see, but if you can answer the question of why did God create me, then the answer becomes your purpose. If you can answer the question about why did God create me, then the answer becomes your purpose. You are no more trying to ascertain your purpose, but your purpose becomes defined by knowing why God created you. It becomes defined by knowing what God felt when he created mankind. Your purpose will become defined when you know what God felt when he created mankind. You know, God is not like something that is far from us. We have this idea that God is just like nothingness, and he's just some loud voice that speaks from the sky. So certainly he can't feel anything. And we have this idea that God is like the Wizard of Oz, that you just hear this loud voice talking out of the clouds and you don't know what it is. But God is not far from us, guys. And he felt something when he made mankind. And that thing that he felt, if we can understand it, it can now define our purpose. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So look what David said. He says, "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" What is man? Now, when you look at this word "what" in the Hebrew, it is of what kind? Of what kind is man? So this word "what" would actually say of what kind of man is man. Now when we think of what kind is man, we're talking about what kind of a being. You know, we say that a dog is the kind of animal that is like a dog. He is his kind. You could take a German Shepherd and you could take a Husky and you could say they are of the same kind. Okay? So David is trying to ascertain of what kind of a being is man, that you are mindful of him and that you visit him. Okay, so David says, "Of what kind of a being is man, God, that your mind is so filled full with thoughts of him? Of what kind of a being is man, that your mind is filled so full with thoughts of him that you visit him?" Now, this Hebrew word for visit, man, honestly, guys, our English language, it's just no good for this translation. When you look at this Hebrew word visit, it's paquad, paquad, P-A-Q-A-D, and it means to look after, to care for, to seek after, to protect. Okay? So David says, God, of what kind of a being is man that your mind is so filled full with him that you seek after him? Now, something else that this word pequod means is it means to be sought by, to be needed by, to be missed by. Guys, this is Brown Driver Briggs, if you're wondering where that definition is. So David is saying something to God. He's saying, God, of what kind of a being is man that they are, that you seek after them, that you miss them, that you need them? Of what kind of a being is man that they mean so much to you? Of what kind of a being is man that you feel in your heart to seek after them, that you feel in your heart that you miss them, that you feel in your heart that you need them? You see, and this is a question we should all be asking ourselves. You see, because God felt those things for us to such a profound degree that David was just in awe of it. And he wanted to know, of what kind of a being is man that you feel this way for them, God? And that's just enough right there. You know, when I looked up that word, and those of you that like to study the Bible, if you want to ask me what I use, I will gladly show you and tell you so you can look at it yourself. But it's the Brown Driver Briggs translation of the Hebrew version of the King James Bible. And it's my favorite translation or dictionary for the Hebrew Bible because it uses the different verb tenses. It doesn't just give you the present tense. It takes you down to all the different tenses for those of you that are theologians, okay? But in the story of creation, God answers David's question. In the story of creation, God answers David's question. God reveals to you of what kind of a being you are that he sought after you. He reveals to you of what kind of a being you are in the story of creation that he missed you. He reveals of what kind of a being you are that he needed you. Now, guys, God does not need us in the sense that he will cease to exist without us, okay? But he needs us in the sense that just as we all have a dream for our life, just as we all have a picture of what we want our life to look like, just as we all have a hope for how our life will turn out, God has a dream for his life. And his dream for his life is that he could be one with man, that he could share his life with man for all eternity. So in the sense that God's dream for his life could not come true apart from being able to be one with man, he needed man. Hallelujah. You know, when you get a hold of that in your heart, it will revolutionize your life. You know, yesterday I was cleaning a pool, and I was talking to a guy, and so often when I talk to people about the love of God, they look at me like I'm crazy. Because they say, what is in that guy? You know, the same thing's in me that's in everybody else. But I am walking into this revelation of knowing as I have always been known. You see, the veil has been removed, and I have now busted up into the Holy of Holies, and I am standing in the presence of God, which was a sign of being face to face with God, which is a sign of where man was created to begin with, face to face with God. You know, something profound about John chapter 1 was, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Do you know that word with means face to face? Guys, this is where we were created to live. You see, and Jesus knew what kind of a being he was that God would not forsake him. He knew what kind of a being he was that God would need him, would miss him, would seek after him. And that's why he was able to come to the earth and believe unto grace perfectly and resist sin unto death. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So in the story of creation, God reveals what he felt for mankind when he created them. He reveals to us in the story of creation his thoughts for us. He reveals to us his heart for us in the story of creation. Okay? When God made Adam, he said that it was not good for Adam to be alone. And he brought all of the animals in creation before Adam so that Adam could now name the animals, but also so that Adam could look for someone, look for something that could be his friend, something that could be his companion. You know, the Bible says that there was not a help meet for Adam in all of the animals. You know, I always thought that that meant that there was nobody who could help Adam with his life. You know, and we men, sorry guys, I'm going to blow up your whole world and your theology. We have this idea that, yes, man needed a help meet for him. He needed someone to cook his food and to clean his clothes and to clean the house and do things for him. But guys, we must define the help that man needed properly. What did God say about man? It was not good for him to be alone. So he needed help to not be alone. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. So God brought all the animals in creation to Adam. And Adam looked, it wasn't just to name the animals, he was also looking for a friend, for a companion. He was looking for someone he could share his life with. He was looking for someone that could be a help meet for him. He was looking for someone that could help him to not be alone. And Adam looked through all of the animals in creation, and it says that there was not a help meet for him. There was no one that he could share his life with. He looked through all of creation, and he did not find anything or anyone that was like him. He looked through all of creation, and he did not find anything or anyone that was his kind. He didn't find anyone in all of creation that he could share his life with. He didn't find anyone that could know what it feels like to feel what he feels, that could know what it feels like to experience what he experiences. He didn't find anyone to share his life with. He didn't find anyone that could help him to not be alone. And it says, and the Bible says that God put, that a deep sleep came upon Adam, and that God put Adam to sleep. And he made Eve out of one of Adam's ribs. And when Adam saw Eve, he said, she is like me. She is my kind. She is someone that can know what it feels like to feel what I feel. She is someone that can experience the same things that I can experience. She is someone I can share my life with. She is someone that can help me to not be alone. Adam found his rest in searching for a friend, in searching for a companion in Eve. You guys never heard creation like that, did you? Me neither. Hallelujah. But in that account, guys, God is revealing his heart to you. In that account, God is telling you why he created you. In that account, God is teaching us what he felt when he created mankind. He is telling us what kind of a being we are, that he sought after us, that he cares for us, that he missed us, that he needed us. He is telling us what kind of a being we are to him, that he missed us when we were lost, that he sought after us to care for us. He didn't just let us go, guys. He missed us when we were lost, because he didn't find anything in all of creation that was a help meet for him. He didn't find anything in all of creation that could help him to not be alone. You know, and being alone, you know, the way that the Bible is defining to be alone, it's talking about if there's not another kind of a being that can know how to, that can feel the same things that you feel, or that can experience the same things that you experience, you're alone. You may have something there, but it's not something that you can share your life with. It's not something you can become one with. I can't go become one with the giraffe. I can't go become one with the grass, because they're not my kind. You see? And so God is teaching us who we are to him, that he missed us when we were lost, that he sought after us to care for us. You know, the Bible says that mankind was the last thing that God created. He went through 5 days creating everything, making everything in creation, looking for someone, looking for something that could be his friend, looking for something that could be his companion, looking for someone that he could share his life with, that could help him to not feel alone. You know, and God didn't find anything. He didn't find anything that was like him. He didn't find anything that he could share his life with. He didn't find anything that was his kind, that could know what it feels like to feel what he feels, that could experience the same things that he experiences. He didn't find anything, guys, in all of creation. And then it says, and God made man out of the dust of the ground. God made man out of the dust of the ground, and he breathed the breath of his life into the nostrils of man, into Adam. And God said, Adam is like me. Adam is my kind. Adam is someone who can know what it feels like to feel what I feel. Adam is someone who can experience the same things that I can experience. He is someone that I can share my life with. He is someone that can help me to not feel alone. Hallelujah, guys. This is the purpose for man. This is why man has been created. This is why you are here. Glory to God. Glory to God. You know, this is what Jesus was talking about when he told Peter that Peter was cut from the same rock that he was cut from, and that the gates of hell could not stand against the revelation that Peter was the same kind of a being that Jesus was. Now, what are the gates of hell? We think about this fiery hell, and there is a hell, but that specific word is talking about death. Jesus was saying death cannot stand against the revelation of what kind of a being you are if you can now see what kind of a being you really are. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, man. So God breathes his life into Adam's nostrils, and he says, he is like me. He is my kind. I can share my life with him. And, you know, it says that after God made man, and when I say man, guys, that means man and woman. It says that God said, let us make man, and male and female, let us make them, okay? So man is a collective thing. It's male and female, right? So it says that God rested after he made man. It says on the seventh day, God rested from all his work because he found someone that he could share his life with. He found someone that was like him. God Almighty found his rest in you. His heart was filled with so much adoration for you when he looked upon you that he said, there is no reason to create anything else. I have found the apple of my eye. You are the apple of God's eye. And now he invites you to enter into the rest that comes when you can know that you are the apple of God's eye. Hallelujah, man. My life has been flipped upside down by realizing that I am the apple of God's eye. And now I am finally knowing myself as I have always been known. And all the questions about why am I here, why did God create man, they've all been answered. And I'm experiencing his love. You know I probably get this reputation for teaching lots of verses and teaching lots of scriptures, and I love teaching those verses and scriptures. But guys, that pales in comparison to knowing this. I'm just saying. It pales in comparison to knowing this. I can bust out the chalkboard and dissect scriptures with the best of them because of God in me. But it pales in comparison to knowing this. That's why this is within the first two chapters of the Bible. God invites you to enter into his rest, which is when he sees you, he sees perfection. Which is when he sees you, he sees himself. Which is, when he sees you, he says that you are very good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Man, this is the kind of life that we were created for. And it is the good life, brothers and sisters. It is the good life. It is why you are here, to receive the love of the Father. In verse 24 of Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, and I was going to read all these verses, but I don't think there's any reason to. If somebody wants to come up here after and read through them, they can if they like. But verse 24 says, therefore shall a man... Well, you know what? I'll just go back so we can see. I'll start with verse 18 and read through 24. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a help meet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Therefore what? Because Eve was Adam's kind, they shall become one. Because Eve is the same kind of a being as Adam is, they shall join themselves together. He shall cling to her because she is his kind. To cling to something means to be joined to something. So therefore, because Eve is the same kind of a being as Adam is, Adam will now cling to her. He will join himself to her. He shall become one with her. You know, guys, the Bible says that God teaches us about the invisible things of the world with the things that are visible. Do you see how God is trying to teach us about himself with things that are visible to us so they can be real in our hearts? You see, because these things seem invisible to us when we cannot put them in a definition or a box. So therefore, because we are the same kind of a being as God is, because we are his kind, he has clung to us. He has joined himself to us. He wants to become one with us so he could share his life with us. This is defining the purpose of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And because we've been taught things so carnally, we read these verses and we try to figure out how man and woman should relate to each other. We try to figure out some type of commandment for us to follow. Certainly there's some principle that I can work in here. Certainly somewhere in here it's telling me something that I must now do. Let me now go work that principle. You know, it's just on my mind because we're in the story, you know, but God told Adam to take dominion over the earth. Well, we hear take dominion over the earth, and we think that meant Adam should have gone and tilled the ground, or he should have gone and done something. You know, taking dominion over the earth, guys, means to establish grace into the earth. That's how you take dominion over the earth. You plant grace. Adam would have taken dominion over the earth if he would have eaten from the tree of life, if he would have eaten from Jesus. That would have been establishing dominion over the earth. And lots of people want to say, well, I don't know, Brother Greg. Okay, well, let's look at the last Adam. He came to the earth, and he established dominion on the earth. Now, how did he do it? By planting grace. He came and he believed perfectly under the grace of God, and he established dominion. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, man. The Bible is so awesome. And the interpretation of the Bible that comes when you realize that the Word was made flesh is even more beautiful. It's even more beautiful. So God is expressing what he feels for you in the story of creation. He is expressing what he feels for you and who you are to him. He is expressing why his heart is so captivated by you. He is expressing that he has a dream for his life. And his dream for his life is to become one with you so he can share his life with you for all eternity. Man, you guys hear that? Hallelujah. I just feel God's love right now. I just feel his love right now. And I just feel his love for people. All people. The legalists, those that don't believe, the Muslims, everybody. I feel his love for all people right now. Because I realize what kind of a being they are. They are the God kind. Hallelujah. So guys, something happened in the Garden of Eden that tried to stop God's dream of becoming one with man and being able to share his life with man for all eternity from coming true. Adam believed unto a system that caused him to separate himself from God. He was deceived by Satan into partaking of a life that was not born from God. But because you are God's kind, because he has a dream for his life, that he could be one with you and share his life with you for all eternity, he missed you. He needed you so his dream for his life could come true. So he came after you. He sought you. He said to himself, if there can be somebody like they are, someone that is their kind, someone that can be their representative, that can now believe unto me in my grace perfectly. Someone that can resist sin unto the death at the cross and reintroduce faith into the earth. That can reintroduce the belief unto God's grace into the earth. Then grace can reign again in the earth. And when they can hear that they are innocent, when they can hear that they are acceptable to me, when they can hear that their death has been died away, when they can hear that their sin has been completely taken away, when they can see the adoration that I have for them, so they can, when they can see that I have looked upon them with adoration and I have declared that they are very good, that they can believe in me, and in that they can believe in me, they can experience me. They can become one with me. And now my dream for my life of having someone that I could share my life with, someone that I could become one with, someone that I can call my friend, my companion, can come true. Hallelujah, man. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for the ability to get through this without breaking down in tears. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Man, you know, but back to creation. God didn't find anything in all of creation that was like you. He didn't find anything in all of creation that was in your image and likeness. He didn't find anything that was as valuable as you are. He didn't find anything that possessed the same worth that you possessed. So he didn't find anything in all of creation that could be your representative. The only thing that could qualify to be your representative was God himself. The only thing that was as valuable as you are was God himself. The only thing that possessed the same worth that you possess was God himself. So he became a man to take away your sin and reintroduce grace into the earth by resisting sin unto the death at the cross. God became a man to die away your death. And at the same time, cause your heart to believe in him by seeing that his love for you is trustworthy. And when you can see that his love for you is worthy of your trust, he hopes that you will say in your heart that you want to share your life with him. And now his dream can come true. That there could be someone that was his kind. Someone that was like him. Someone that could know what it feels like to feel what he feels. That could experience the same things that he experiences. Someone he could become one with to the end that he could share his life with them. Hallelujah, man. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for your love for us, Lord. I thank you, Father, that you have created us to experience your love. I thank you, Father, that you have told us what kind of a being we are, that you have described who we are to you with the intent that we could experience your love and you could experience our love back towards you. I thank you, Father, that you did not deny your feeling. The feeling that you had in your heart to seek after us, to chase after us. I thank you, Father, that you did not deny the feeling that you had that you needed us, that you missed us. I thank you, Father, that we are your dream come true. I thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise God.